Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, recording live here from the Allstate Skyline Studio at WGN Radio. We've got a great guest. We've got, it's a great topic. Maybe not necessarily the best news, but it's a good topic nonetheless. We've been working with, well, not working with, they're doing all the work. We just reported on it. Chicago Blend, who you will, that's our guest, Chicago Blend and Christy Dula and Lindsay Knight. But they've been doing a lot of work, and you probably know Christy Dula. She used to be at 1871, then she's at Pritzker Group, and she's working with Chicago Blend to uncover the realities about diversity in entrepreneurship, diversity in the investing world, in the VC world. And we partnered with them to kind of write a report on this. And ultimately what we found is the new data, and you can check this out on technori.com. It's like the second post on technori.com in the blog. Or you can, you know, go there and sign up for the newsletter and get this stuff sent directly to your inbox. You don't have to search around. Wink, wink. That's me telling you to sign up for our newsletter because it's great. But what you're looking for is the new data illustrates the lack of diversity at Chicago's venture capital firms. And my guess is that this is probably the same thing all over the country, all over the world. It might even be worse all over the country and all the world, because Chicago actually does a pretty darn good job of at least acknowledging that we want to be a part of change. We want to be inclusive. But here's what I'm going to leave for you. And this is serious tone, and then we're going to drop into the startup thing, startup inbox, and maybe, you know, see some cool stuff. And then we'll have the ladies on the show to talk more about this. But this is it. Of the Chicago VCs surveyed, 86.5% are white, 8.6 are Asian or Indian, 2.6% are black, not even 1% are Latino or Latina. Think about that. Let me make it a little worse for you. The executive investor cohort, so this is people who are in management, you know, the decision makers. So like 86% of the people are white men that you're going to talk to like get screened. And if you're so lucky as to get through them, this is what you're up against. 90.3% are white. I'm going to go ahead and assume like 92% male in that. We have the stats. Go to the article and you can actually see the male-female breakup. But 90.3% white, 6% Asian Indian, 3% are black. Ready for this? Zero Latino, Latina. Zero. Not one person who holds the purse strings on an investment is Latino or Latina. Not one. That's a problem. And I've got all kinds of feelings myself about how to solve it, but as a white male with blonde hair and blue eyes, maybe not the best idea for me to be the person to address it. So I brought in Christy Dula and Lindsay Knight from Chicago Blend because, well, one, they were the ones that did all the work to get the stats. But, you know, they represent the community that I don't. And quite frankly, I'm interested to see what they have to say about this. In particular, Christy, because she's obviously at Pritzker Group, and, you know, J.B. Pritzker is now the governor of Illinois, which is a good thing. And Lindsay Knight, who is at Chicago Ventures. So I'm going to go ahead and guess that if you look at the numbers, they might be like 80% of those numbers, which, you know, is kind of mind-blowing. So, but before we do that and have the ladies on and have this very serious conversation, let's have a little fun. We've got our segment. Startups can pitch to us. They already do, but now we're going to put it on the air without saying their name. Because that's, you know, probably a good idea. You can put your company startup idea and send it to us through Twitter at Technori or at Catoon DM. You can send it on Facebook message. Pretty much anything social media, you can do it. You can also send it to hello@technori.com. And while you do that, you might as well add, can you please add me to your subscriber list for your network, for your newsletter? And hey, you know what we'll do? We'll let you go to the events for free. So anyway, that's another story for another time. Let's bump in Sam real quick here. Sam, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, hello. We've got a great startup idea. I want you to go ahead and tell me this fantastical startup idea right now.
All right. Well, you know, Westworld and Jurassic Park have a good place in people's hearts.
Think of
an amusement park dedicated to emulating popular entertainment from the past as it was originally intended to be experienced. So it's an amusement park, like split up into several tiny districts, like replicating what an American city would look like from a different time period, the 80s, 19th century, you know, the 2000s, whatever.
Boss is shit. That's what I have to say about that. That's like the business model wise, like we've heard it on Shark Tank. I don't know if you ever watched the episode where she might even be an Illinois based, but they had like a Halloween They do like Halloween horror shows and horror setups, and you go and, you know, whatever, you go to scary, whatever, House of Horrors, whatever. Very difficult financial model because you have to invest so much to make the experience great. And if the people don't show up, shit is no good. It's done. You look at our friends here in Chicago, and you look at like Breakwater Chicago and our friends that had started that. It's been 4 or 5 years in the making, and it's still not there because it's going to be $100 million+ project. And if it doesn't work, that's a lot of trouble. But I will tell you this, from a cool standpoint and from a like would love to use it, I don't know about you, but I would, there are so many eras that I feel like I should have been born in. I would have been better off, like the Roaring Twenties, the Prohibition, like that. I feel like that's my shit. To be able to just drop into that could be the coolest experience ever, especially if you start putting like VR and like you start storylining it like you're a human right. video game.
Exactly. That is why games like Red Dead Redemption 2 are so popular right now.
Shout out to Tom for our producer here at WGN for our little Red Dead 2.
Yeah, you can be a cowboy.
You can be anything
you want in this little town.
Giddy up. I am a cowboy. Sam, thank you. That was a good one. Actually, I love the idea. I think financially it could be tough, but you know what? Most things in life are a bitch until you get it right. So take a gamble and do it. I hope whoever submitted that.
They're good ideas. Just someone needs to execute it, right?
I agree. I hope whoever submitted that one, I hope they actually give it a try and meet with the right people, because like that could be like the future of Universal Studios. I haven't been there in a while, but who the hell knows? Hopefully it's cool. Sam, thank you. That was a good one. We are now going to bring in Lindsay Knight and Christy Dula, board members of Chicago Blend. First off, thank you, ladies, for all the work that you guys do. Welcome to the Technori podcast. Is this is the first time for you, Lindsay, right?
First timer, yeah.
Christy, you've been on, right, or no?
First timer.
What? This time. How is this possible? How is this, like...
I don't know, man.
What kind of world are we living in?
I was waiting for the day that I got to chat with you. Oh, I bet.
This is the day. It's real now. So I started off... We're laughing, which is a good thing. I started off the... It's a good... Well, because this is one of those matters you have to, like, have... I think you have to have a little sense of humor about... this, otherwise it just gets too dark too quickly and it starts to piss you off and then you go down into a spiral.
Yep.
I started off this conversation, we posted, I think you guys have talked to you, Lindsay for sure did, Tyler Sonnemaker, who's my, I mentor him at Medill, yeah. And turned him on to the story and turned him on to like that this is something you guys are doing and we're trying to write like a multi piece, like these are the facts, like enough BS. You guys have done an incredible job and an incredible amount of work making this data available. I think that we were talking about this on the first show with HEMA. In this case, we're talking about training children, but in a lot of cases, old, bald, white men who run VC is pretty much training children. So it's kind of apropos. I think that if you don't have a baseline of numbers and be like, listen, this is where we are, it's very easy to spin out and be like, oh, you know, we did what we could. You know, we tried. And so I basically stated the number, like the top numbers we saw, which is the important ones from my standpoint, that the VC community is 86.5% white and 0.9% Latino, Latina. And the decision makers is 90.3% white, 0% Latina, Latino, which is insane. There's literally no way for you to be able to make your way up if you run into that.
Yeah.
I think it starts with us having the discussion here, and that changes. And I think it is also important to remember that the issue at hand is not necessarily that there's too many white males at the table. The issue at hand is that there's not enough diversity at the table.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that we approach this subject in that way, because ultimately, having diversity at the table includes white males as well.
Of course, yeah.
And so I think it's very important that we do kind of harp on just having more diversity rather than less.
Yeah. To your point, too, the original point you made about this being kind of a dark topic, I think, you know, it's scary to talk about. You guys posted that blog post this morning about the numbers, and I cringed a little bit because it's still hard to see and hard to read. But we ultimately want to create an environment where it is okay to talk about this. It's okay to make mistakes sometimes, and we want to create a safe space for people to understand how we can be better. Because we're not going to be better if we don't have a baseline to start with.
Totally agree. And like I said, I use humor to deflect everything. My wife hates it absolutely. So like it's endearing. You'll learn to love it, I think. Probably not. But like to your point though, like. And I want to kind of take this conversation in two parts. There's sort of like the perception thing, and then there's reality. Christy, to your point, you know, you can't change what is. You're like, the fact of the matter is, at this point in American history, a certain number of people who look a certain way have a certain amount of wealth. And you're not going to be able to tell them not to invest, and that would be the wrong thing to do anyway. And it's a matter of what can we do to change that. And then there's the second part of the conversation, which is like how to, and the proper dialogue to, I don't want to say pressure, but let's say influence the decisions that are being made. And so like, I'll start with you, Christy, on this, like about the seats at the table. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you guys either think or aim to do with Chicago Blend or just personally? Mm-hmm. And both of your positions are in a position of power in the conversation we're talking about, to start changing the makeup of that boardroom. Because I think that's a big part where this starts. And that's not investors. That's the founder who starts their first board and makes choices to pick people.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of different people have the ability to influence that.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So for this particular question, I will mention Mike Gamson is actually a really great person when it comes to things like this. So it's kind of made its way through the community that if he's asked to be on a board, he asks about the diversity on the board already. And then if it's not there, then he says, okay, well, let me know when you've got a little bit there and I'll consider it. And so that has been kind of a resonating story throughout the Chicago tech community that has actually impacted some different companies and their board structure. And I think that those little moves that we all can make are very important.
I totally agree. Lindsay, taking the other side of this is like, how does that story matriculate down through the city and become an impactful influence on what other people do? How do we make sure this is one of those things, and I have to like tread lightly as I say this, because it's just, this is the media world we live in. I think that's one of the mistakes that we've made in this conversation about diversity in a lot of areas, not just in tech, is this fear, and I'm expressing it now, which is kind of sums it up perfectly, this fear to have like a real conversation and to not hang the, I'm doing this because it looks good,
right,
rather than I'm doing this to do it because it's just, I wouldn't want it any other way. How do we do a better job of both framing the story as well as like owning up to it?
Right. Yeah. I think both points are very important. I think one is the collaboration piece. So look at what we're doing with Chicago Blend, where we're bringing together hopefully every single venture capital firm, people who are in positions of power in Chicago to influence change. I think historically, VCs, and you know, we're guilty of this too, have kind of launched a lot of internal initiatives where they're trying to place women on boards or bring more people of color into their portfolio companies or even their teams. But ultimately, those kind of one-off things aren't making a massive impact. So I think, one, our city needs to collaborate and work together, which this is what this initiative is pushing toward. I think, two, just owning up to the fact that the venture and tech community is not as diverse as the city of Chicago. We don't represent what the city looks like. It was, if I, you know, can say it, I think that was a pretty bold thing for us to announce and talk about, because it did feel very scary.
I
don't think any other city is talking about their data like we are in Chicago. And so we want to start at the starting line and hopefully be able to impact change and make this city the most diverse, the most inclusive place to build a business, to start a business, to work for a tech company, whatever it is. But we have to start somewhere. So we're hoping that this is a good just starting point for making change here.
I agree. And one of the reasons I have you both on is like, I want to caution listeners, ourselves, the founders, everybody. There's a natural inclination. I'm hoping that in Chicago is no different than any other place. People are people, but I hope we change a little bit in that it's very easy to be judgy and not let people make the changes that they need and take the time it takes to make them. You're not going to expect that, wow, this groundbreaking number came across, and so, geez, I better go clean up my books, otherwise people are going to judge the hell out of me. I would rather you be like, wow, like, I didn't even realize that I've been preaching this, and I look down and like my whole team is all, there's all dudes in this room.
Yeah.
I will say we have female team members there. They're on vacation.
Sure.
Truth.
Yeah.
But like, you know what I'm saying? Like we have to let people, and this is not just about diversity. This is about everything. Like let people go out and say, you know what? I was wrong or whatever. And like, make changes. Now, if they say it and they don't make changes, then, you know, right, judge the hell out of them.
Yeah, we've found too that, and even among a lot of our peers, people don't talk about this stuff, I'll use stuff in quotes, diversity, equity, inclusion, however you want to define it, because they're scared of saying the wrong thing and offending somebody or doing the wrong thing. And I have done that before. I think we probably all have been in a position where we weren't really sure how to say or interact with somebody, and we're trying to change that dynamic with this initiative we're working on.
What would you say, Chrissy? Were you going to say something? I didn't want to.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, to add on to that, that I think it, I mean, there's new terminology coming out all the time around anything diversity and inclusion related. And I mean, oftentimes we just don't know. And some people don't feel safe enough asking someone because they're afraid somebody's going to come back and get upset or anything like that. And so I think it's very important that when these things do come up, that instead of scolding someone for maybe saying the wrong thing, it's more like, hey, did you know X, Y, and Z?
You know what? That's a great point. I was like going to ask you literally what you just answered. So
oh, nice.
I don't even have to.
So
it was
perfect.
Like, it was perfect. I was, because the segue I wanted to make on it was honestly, maybe the most important part of what you guys are doing. Obviously, getting information out there, whatever, isn't super important, but making things, topics, storylines, whatever, common knowledge goes a huge way of like diffusing it. So like everyone already knows, like, oh, these are the numbers, like this is an important topic, we care, not just you, P33, Gladwin, the folks with the big bags of bucks, they care. So like I don't feel as worried about bringing up a conversation with you, Christy, or you, Lindsay, that I maybe wouldn't because I'm a guy and you're a girl and I'm going to talk about whatever. I feel comfortable because I know that we're coming from the same base. You know the story. You guys produced it. We wrote it. Like, we know what's up.
Right.
I feel more comfortable. And I think that in itself may just be the biggest, like, barrier that you're about to knock over, which I think is awesome.
It's a shift in mentality. And somebody had to tell me this a few weeks ago because I am a person that just wants to drive and wants things to get done, which I think a lot of us in this community are. And somebody said to me, you know, this isn't going to be a one fund change or, you know, three or 4 year change. This will literally be a decades long change.
It has
and
to be.
We have to be patient and start laying the groundwork now. And hopefully we'll see some results eventually.
And I also think to lend this out there, cause our next episode this week, we're on a kick right now. Tom Alexander, who I know you obviously know very well, is going to come on and talk about culture. And I think we talked about it with Estella Shalu a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that this is step one in like pointing out that there's a problem. Step two is like setting the table so that you can fix the problem. Step three is fixing the problem. Step four is reinforcing that the problem is in fact fixed, and then making sure that it doesn't overfix and go the other direction. And so culture is a huge part of this. And I think it's also like preparing yourself for this change. You can't just flip a switch and everything is special.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. So we need to focus on that.
I think post Me Too and over the last 12 to 18 months, we've seen a lot done in step one throughout the world, really. But, you know, a lot of focus on Silicon Valley around, you know, decency pledges and people putting some initiatives in place. We actually have a peer group in New York who's launched NYC Blend. So I think a lot of work is getting done. Our goal is to really move from step one to step two, where we are saying we're going to do things, we have the data, and then we're actually going to put some initiatives in place to actually change the numbers.
Can you share what is maybe one or any initiatives, or just not even the initiatives themselves, like what is step two look like, not for me, but for people listening? What should they be looking out for? Or they could do on their own?
So just briefly as background, so our step one was collecting data about all of the local VCs in Chicago and the makeup of our teams. The second part of that, which we're launching soon, is collecting similar, and this is employment data, gender, race, ethnicity, across all the startups we've backed. Once we have that data in place, we're hoping to identify some of the major gaps that we see and line up initiatives against that. So these are a lot of ideas that we've thrown around in our initial conversations. Maybe it's more women or people of color at the board level. Maybe it's kind of the education piece on venture capital. You know, what is this weird world that we live in? How can we get people that are outside of our initial circles of friends and contacts to know what we do, to kind of get into this world? How are we working with our portfolio companies to bring people of different representation of all kinds onto their teams, helping them hire from the bottom and the top too? So there are a bunch of ideas that we have. I don't think we will know what those are until we have all of the data in place, but I will tell anybody who's listening, we are open to ideas. So we want this to be a community effort. If people have ideas, we would love to hear them.
Very cool. Where do people go to share and say that and get in touch with you?
Yes. So info@chicagoblend.org.
Okay.
And we've got 29 VC firms actually signed on as supporters already. And awesome. So if you are a VC firm who has not signed on as a supporter,
pressure's cooking.
FOMO.
To come in. Yeah. Actually, up on the website, we've got the listed supporters, so you can see.
And it's chicagoblend.org. Is that the website?
Yes.
And of course, the article that we did, you can go to technor.com, and you're one of the people who lives in Chicago who ever clicked on tech. You got it in a newsletter this morning. we'll pin it along with this podcast on top of our Facebook and Twitter, everywhere else, so you guys can catch it and read it. Before I let you both go, we want to play a little startup showcase. You guys are familiar with the original startup showcase, which was at Chase Auditorium, and it was a big ordeal. We're not going to pile 500 people in the studio. We're going to have one company that is going to give us their pitch. I know you're both in the investment world, so I'll leave you guys alone on talking about making an investment, because I know that can get a little dicey quickly. But what I would love is just any feedback on your initial thoughts on the founder's pitch, the idea, advice, anything at all, right?
Sure. Perfect.
Sweet. Tom, cue the pitch.
Visual Technologies is a data-driven marketplace that makes it easy for brands to find storefront windows. The creative can be static or digital. We are currently making it as incremental media buys, but soon it will be programmatic. Our media is basically counted or substantiated with computer vision technology that counts the traffic and the number of people walking by, and not just if they're walking by, but also if they're looking, who is looking, and we can identify that by gender, approximate age, and even if they're smiling, happy, sad, or neutral. Our website is visual.com. It's visual.com. And in order to invest, we have launched a handy-dandy Republic campaign, which is you can source our campaign page at republic.co/visual, VISUWALL.
Thank you, Kobe. As mentioned, if you want to invest in these companies, you have to go to republic.co/register and hook up your credit card and blow all your money on startups. But with that said, do you guys understand like what the pitch was? She kind of glazed over a little bit, also because we edited over a little bit. The fact that it's basically like Minority Report, where like all of the buildings can turn like New York Times. They can sell ads in downtime.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think with the live outside of home advertising market where it is right now growing, it's interesting. But what are you guys' thoughts both on pitch and on idea?
Yeah. On pitch, I like the way that you started that pitch. I think she did a great job, but maybe buried the lead a little bit.
Yep.
So, and maybe that is the fault of the editing here. I don't know.
No, I mean, she was on my live show on Saturday, which all of you listening can listen live on Saturday. I said the same thing to her. It was like, there's a part of founders tend to like, they're so absorbed in it that they forget that like the average person has no idea what they're talking about.
Right. Keep it really simple. Less kind of,
they say kiss, keep it stupid simple.
Yeah,
simple,
exactly.
Stupid, however it goes.
People do not listen. So
absolutely.
Hit them at the start. Yeah.
Christy?
And there's also a study that's just been done, or 2016. As of 2016, we have 1 second less the attention span of a goldfish.
Oh, wow.
So like,
so what's that place at, like 3 seconds?
Not even.
It's
I forgot. Eight. Eight is that.
We're
so like
at 8 seconds.
We used to have the rule when I was in undergraduate at Marquette. I was in advertising. It was 11 seconds, and it was equivalent to 9 to 11 words on a billboard. Now it's like 3 second video, and you're gone.
That Snapchat.
Oh my gosh.
So you got to keep that in mind.
Well,
so I think that the pitch was actually very, very good, and I think that it might be helpful to speak with maybe the ScenTap team, because I know they did a lot around kind of the, not so much facial recognition,
sure,
but just kind of like breaking it down. And I think there are some lessons to be learned there, maybe.
I think there's helpful opportunities in the market. My only gut instinct is that the landlords are going to have to buy up all the real estate. And then when the businesses are, they're going to have to sell it back to the businesses who are leasing the space out to make enough money consistently. Because mm-hmm. like, who would have a store and then want somebody else's logos popping in front of the window? Like, that wouldn't work for me. But ladies, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for
everything you're doing with Chicago Blend. Let us know if there's anything we can do to be more helpful and continue to pop out stories like this. But anyway, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Of course, you can watch this episode and more at technor.com. You can download the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever it is that you get your podcast. And of course, you can follow us at Technori on everything, or you can follow your complaints with me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.